Oh. Hello, I'm ContraPants.
And I'm Uranium Bacon, and I just finished burping. And welcome to another
episode 4. Episode 4 of I'm Ashamed of This Podcast.
Hey, I want you to post this out of order now just so your intro could be wrong. Yes, and for this one, we're going to try a different approach to the podcast. We originally contacted Neil deGrasse Tyson to have him come on and answer some questions about physics and space and whatnot, and, well, he has no idea who the hell we are and completely ignored all requests to come on the podcast.
That's why Bill Nye is better.
Bill Nye is also not here, so, yeah.
Yeah, well, we didn't ask the science guy, because we know he's got better things.
As opposed to Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's just busy being on every single show about science ever that doesn't have Bill Nye. Basically, the scientific community right now is two people.
Bill Nye did not eliminate Pluto.
This one's for Pluto. Pouring one out for my homeboy, Pluto. Because...
Although Pluto really should have been eliminated a long time ago.
Shut the fuck up.
Well, it's not even... Okay, it was never even, like, partially a planet. It was because that's what they... It's part of the Kuiper Belt. Like, it's basically part of a second asteroid belt. It's smaller than... Okay, if we're going to go by size, there are things in the Kuiper Belt bigger than Pluto. We should have, like, 12 or 13 planets if we're going by that.
Three simple words. I don't care.
Well, you can't really argue with that one, I guess, but...
Yes! And this is why I got admitted to Harvard. But, apparently, ContraPants here actually knows a lot about science.
Yeah, I may have done a bit of sciencing in my past.
All that science you're ashamed of? I mean, I like that thing about, like, trying to resurrect frog zombies, because that was weird.
That can be done. You ever see that? Like, once it's dead, you can attach an electrode and still have the, like, kick?
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
You can do that with people, too.
Mm-hmm. And people shit themselves when they die.
Yeah. So this is the kind of science we know. I don't know. I've been watching a lot of documentaries about space and the cosmos. And there's some stuff that I simply do not get. And I'm just kind of wondering if ContraPants here could shed some light on my ignorance.
I haven't watched anything, but I will give it my best.
Well, you haven't watched anything because you just know stuff, and you don't have to watch anything to learn about it because you already know about it.
So go ahead, ask my beer-addled brain anything.
I hope this becomes a drunken science series of podcasts.
It can't always be your birthday.
Well, it's not my birthday now, so we're off to a good start. Anyway, okay.
During one of... bleep! One of Uranium Bacon's... Wow, I got the beer out of brain. One of his birthdays, I got really wasted, and everyone asked me science questions, and I gave lectures about how awesome Tesla is.
That wasn't my birthday. We were just at Fuddruckers.
No. I'm thinking of your birthday, because it got recorded that day. Fuddruckers is when I was explaining all about what replicators can be and what's potential with fusion.
You're right. No, you're right. That was my birthday. Yeah. So you can't remember pseudonyms, but you can remember my birthday better than me. See, that is the unique brain power that ContraPants has possessed.
Let me write down that I should also... The last episode, I got to censor stuff, because I'm retarded.
And if you could probably edit out this whole part about redacting the podcast, that also might...
I'm just going to redact this episode. It's going to be an hour of silence.
Oh, no.
I'm going to call it the black hole episode.
That's too smart for us.
Okay. The vacuum episode?
Well, I can understand vacuum, I guess.
We recorded this episode in a vacuum.
That's kind of genius. It's so stupid, it's brilliant. I love it.
If our recording date ever lands on April 1st, that's what we gotta do.
If not, we could just record that anyway and post it. Again, we should probably redact the part about our future plans, but... I don't know if this episode's going to make its air. I don't know. There's obstacles on this one. This is a labor-intensive podcast that has 5 minutes in, hasn't even started yet.
I don't know. I'm sweating from all the effort.
You know, it might just be easier to delete this recording and start again with episode 4.
Nah. We got some gold stuff here.
But we don't. We don't have anything. I feel your valuation of gold is very low.
Well, it does fluctuate with the market.
You don't fluctuate you with the market.
Okay. I feel like you prepared that one.
No, I didn't. That's pure bacon. You know, speaking of completely off topic, I wonder, we might potentially have a fourth listener. Considering the fact that my name is Uranium Bacon, we're probably on some sort of NSA watch list. So, in theory, there could be someone at the NSA screening this podcast.
We do have one fan, and you do have one follower on Twitter. So, yeah, we might.
There you go. Again, shout out to Fausto.
He's probably part of the NSA.
Portuguese Fausto can't be part of the NSA.
Do we really know if Portugal exists? Like, have you seen it?
Well, I've seen it on a map.
And who made the map? Probably the government.
Mind equals one. Wow. I am so gullible just believing maps that people give me as if they were true.
I mean, think about it. All those pictures that you see from space, the government took those. How do you know the Earth's even round? Time zones are like a worldwide... I don't know how we got to this. They're like this worldwide alliance of just the government keeping us in check. We can't all be awake at the same time so we can plan together.
This very much segues into something that wasn't necessarily part of this podcast, but I kind of want to do anyway. I would love to basically start an online website / publication called the Batshit Times and just cater to conspiracy nuts. Because I want
to... I'm pretty sure The Onion already does that.
Yes, but I want to exploit them for money. And the great thing is, I could. There's enough of them out there where I probably could do that.
Maybe. But I mean, I don't know if this... I don't know what made you think of that, because this is like a known fact. Like, have you read Discworld?
Sadly, no.
Neither have I, but I get the idea. The world is on the back of a turtle.
Okay.
Going through the cosmos. And we're just a flat disk. And I don't know how anyone can, like, dispute this truth. I mean, the Flat Earth Society is a real thing trying to spread the facts. They're always trying to be... And they're always being kept down by the man.
Yeah, up yours, Bill Nye.
You know, this really started as a science Q&A, a space Q&A thing. I don't know how we got into this.
I don't know how we got to me not even asking my original questions sparked the idea of the space Q&A.
Alright, I think I'm done with the conspiracy theory nut thing. Go ahead.
No, I'm telling Batshit Times coming soon to an internet near you. Contrapants, register the website. Okay.
You know, I'd be kind of disappointed if that domain's not already taken, honestly.
Hold on, I have to...
You know, they've been creating it while you're looking up to see if it exists. There's a whole bunch of new top-level domains that I don't know why they would bother. Like, granted, there's .ninja now, rather than like .com and .net. I know they're just like catering at this point. There's .computer. Who, except Warren Ellis, who would really want that? Because you know you're going to have to explain to everyone on the planet, no, it's not .computer.com, it's .computer. You know? Because I already get that crap with having warmpants.net. It's .net.com.
Yeah, domain not found, motherfucker.
It might already be parked, though, but we can check it. They created .zone, and within minutes of it being created, someone already registered danger.zone, the danger.zone, highway to the danger.zone.
Welcome to the danger.zone.
Yeah, they were all already registered.
And that is actually the best use of the internet I've ever heard of. And I want to go to all of them, and they're probably all equally useless and, well, porn. Probably porn.
They might be. Either that or someone trying to sell it.
That or probably the music company trying to exploit it for something or another.
No, I doubt they would be that creative. They might get highwaytothedangerzone.com.
Yeah. No, that's true. I'm not sure how good they are. Well, I really shouldn't talk about this. Anyway, so the thought I had that sparked the whole idea for this is, okay, in physics, it's basically a rule that the speed of light is like the universal speed limit, and then nothing could go faster than light, correct?
Yeah, until recently.
Okay, good. Why until recently?
Hawking radiation. It's named after Stephen Hawking.
Okay.
All right. So, as I remember it, which has been a long time, there's the whole theory, well, there's the law of conservation of mass and law of conservation of energy, which, although they're two laws, they're technically kind of one law. Because mass is just energy in a different form. And you could find out the exact amount with E equals mc squared.
Okay.
That's how you convert mass to energy.
Mm-hmm.
Plus that other constant that it's over, radical 2, whatever. It only matters when you get into high fractions of c. C is the speed of light in that.
Yeah, okay.
So, Stephen Hawking did a lot of theory with black holes. And he found that the whole idea of a black hole is that its gravitational pull is so strong that even light can't escape it. Because every bit of mass, usually like a planet or you're talking about at the time, has an escape velocity.
Mm-hmm.
Where like Earth, I forget the exact velocity, but if you just start at that velocity going straight up with no acceleration or fuel, you will still escape Earth's gravity. The Earth will slow you down, but you'll still make it out to the point where the gravity is no longer a factor. It's negligible. And in a black hole, there's a thing where its escape velocity is greater than the speed of light. Where the distance from the black hole to where light can escape, that border, there's a term for it. It's called the event horizon.
Mm-hmm.
When Stephen Hawking was looking at all these, all the equations and all his theories and everything, he found that, well, there's a lot of fudge factors here. I think some radiation is escaping. And everyone said, no, that's impossible, it's a black hole, the whole definition is nothing could escape it. Until a couple of years ago, when they found out radiation was escaping it. They managed to observe it. And they called that Hawking radiation.
Okay.
Well, in order to really explain it and where it comes from, that's what string theory is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a whole thing, the Riemann hypothesis and everything else, where it's kind of like, it's one of the cornerstones of it. There's a thing in math, there's 7, I think, unproven hypotheses that each one that you prove, you get paid $1 million. One was already proven since they created this in, I think, 2000. The Riemann hypothesis is one of the other 6. And if it's ever proven, it gives a lot of credence to string theory. And string theory, the way that you can really explain it is, you know, the world is made out of molecules, below that's atoms and electrons and everything else. Imagine instead they were made of strings. That's string theory. That's really the end of it. But
I really thought there was more to it than that.
Well, that's the thing. Without really reading about it, you can't explain it. And I really haven't read it either. But okay. Here's the thing. There's another proven formula. The problem is when you start getting into deep calculus like that, you deal with a lot of things that are infinity.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, a lot of math, in a way, from when if you don't know a lot about it, looks like it breaks down when it comes to infinity.
Mm-hmm.
So, when there's a whole proof, I can't show it on a podcast, but there's things called limits.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you have 1 plus 0, plus 1, plus 0, plus 1, plus 0, forever, what does that equal? Well, it depends on where you stopped.
Yeah.
1 or 0. So the limit would be it's a half. Because it's one of the two, you kind of take the average.
Okay.
So if you were to, say, do 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4, blah, 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 for a long time, you get a really big number, right? But if you add it all the way up to infinity, which technically is impossible, but you get 1 plus 2 plus whatever up to infinity, it equals negative 1 over 12. And it sounds like that doesn't make any sense.
Yes, it does sound like it doesn't make any sense.
And there is an actual... There's a couple proofs that all end up with the same result. And one of the ways of proving it that has, like... it's not a way to prove it, but it's something that kind of goes along with it. It's kind of hard to explain because you need to deal with imaginary numbers and everything, is the Riemann hypothesis. And it's sort of shows like a pivot along how it becomes negative without crossing the border. But the weirdest thing in a lot of, with string theory at least, there's 26 dimensions.
Okay.
Like, we experience four. There's three linked with height and time. According to string theory, there exist 26.
Okay.
That 12 is part of the factor. There's, like, the two-dimensional plane, the strings move in, and then 12 orthogonal one way, 12 orthogonal the other way. And the interesting part that comes from all that, if you look at a lot of natural things, and a lot of natural, what humans believe and think, and a lot of bases for things, are based off 12, not 10. So, like, the ancient Babylonians, when they're creating the Tower of Babel and everything like that, if you ever look at their numbering system, it was base 60.
Okay.
But if you actually look at it, it was actually base 12 five times. Like, they had, like, an augmenting kind of character.
Okay.
And that's where we get our time from, is 60 minutes to an hour, 60 seconds to a minute, 12 hours for each half of the day, things like that, came from that kind of math. If you look at Greek mythology, there's 12 Olympians. There's a lot of 12s throughout human history. And if you look at a lot of natural phenomena, it occurs in 12s. Including... Well, I can't really think of anything offhand besides those. The thought is, if humans had 12 fingers instead of 10, we'd understand the universe a lot more. Because we'd be more in tune with it all. Because the hard part is, now we have to convert everything back and forth.
Okay.
So there's a whole movement in Britain, which is a minority, really. But they want to change the numbering system to be base 12. So it's... instead of 10, I forget what it is, it's 10, 11 is O, 12 is Do, like dodecahedron.
Okay.
12. And so it would be like, you know, you count 8, 9, 10, O, Do, 10, or 1, 0, 1, 1. I don't know how you actually say it. But they think if you do a lot of math in that, which ends up being more helpful to, if you think, when you think of fractions, because... like thirds, quarters, and halves are all whole numbers in as a denominator then. Like thirds, twelfths, they all become whole numbers. And it makes a lot of math a lot easier. So that's the whole speed of light thing. So in general, speed of light is like the universal speed limit, except when it's not. Oh, and that was the other thing with black holes. Hawking thought, I'm not sure, I don't know if he was the first, but because there's 24 dimensions, or 26 dimensions, there's a thing called the rubber sheet that kind of demonstrates gravity.
Okay.
So, picture, instead of everything floating in space, it's a giant rubber sheet. You take a really heavy planet, that's a really small but heavy ball bearing. You put it on the sheet, and it sags the sheet a little. And if you have little ones and they shoot past it, they might go into orbit around it. That's how they kind of show how gravity would work. Well, if you think more like, instead of having it a flat sheet, imagine that sheet is a gigantic sphere. And it all pulls toward the center, everything sags and everything like that. A black hole is so small and so dense, it goes, it sags all the way through to the other side.
Okay.
And that would be the theory of a wormhole.
Mm-hmm.
Where you go in one and out the other end in a different part of the universe. And one of the theories is that thing coming back out is Hawking radiation.
Okay.
I probably got a lot of that wrong. I'm going off memory from like 10 years ago. But
you've probably forgotten more about this than I ever knew, so... Alright, well... Okay, so having established that, for the most part, the speed of light is the universal speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's some new evidence, fairly recently, I think, within the past couple months, that when the Big Bang happened, that some particles were actually accelerating out of the Big Bang faster than the speed of light. And first off, just simply, how could that even be possible? And furthermore, like, one of the theories is that's why we don't know anything about the edge of the universe, or we can't even perceive the edge of the universe if it exists, because there's certain parts of the universe out there that light simply has not even traveled to yet.
They have measured the edge of the universe.
They have?
Yes. Because that's one of the things that's considered one of the like absurdities of pi.
Okay.
True, it is always... There's two theories about it.
Okay.
Where the Big Bang where the original thought was everything constantly expands, but eventually gravity will take hold, everything slows down, and goes back in together.
Yeah, big crunch.
Right. But the other thought is, what if there are things that, like you said, accelerated so fast that they're never coming back?
Mm-hmm.
Then the universe is ever-expanding. The problem with a lot of this, though, is, well, assuming those particles don't exist, because I don't think you can really measure those, I think there still has to be work on it. The edge of the universe is, granted, is vast, but you know how people, like, there's a lot of people who, like, memorize digits of pi?
Yeah.
So, like, the 1,000th digit or 100th digit or something like that. There's even a whole episode of The Simpsons about that, where Apu remembered the digit of pi, like the 60th digit.
Yeah.
It was actually, no one knew what it was at the time. There was a thing called the spigot formula, where you can calculate that digit of pi, and only that digit of pi. And that's how they keep calculating it for a lot of things. Anyway, that's an aside.
And Simpsons actually got it right.
Yeah. Well, Matt Groening contacted the guy who created the spigot function to make that episode. That's how they got it right. Like, he actually contacted... The thing is, that wasn't being used for anything practical yet, and it kind of justified a lot of it. Because, like, a lot of the people in The Simpsons and later Futurama are actual physicists and scientists and things like that.
Math majors, yeah.
Yeah, and they happen to... That's why, like, there's a whole Futurama theorem there. Because formulas they put in the background tend to be true, and that's their way of publishing it, which is kind of cool. It's way better than that formal way of publishing it. Anyway...
Yeah.
I think it's the 34th or 39th digit of pi. 29, 34, or 39th, I forget which one. That if you have that many digits of pi, you can calculate the circumference of the entire universe down to smaller than a hydrogen atom.
Really?
Yeah. That's how many digits you need. If you have 1,000 digits of pi, it literally doesn't matter because it cannot be measured. A lot of all the gigantic numbers of digits of pi now isn't used for calculations, it's used for testing computers for their accuracy and things like that. But yeah, once you have at most 40 digits, you have as many practical digits of pi as possible. For everything on Earth, I think you need up to 20 at the max. But yeah.
So people actually have calculated the size of the universe, even though it's constantly expanding.
Well, that's the thing. That's the big debate. Or a big debate. It's the size of the universe or the size of the observable universe. Because we can see that far, but how come we can see further in one direction but not the other?
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing. So there's, you know, Can you? Is that actually the end, or is it more that we just can't see yet?
Which I assume.
Well, if it moves faster than the speed of light in the other direction, we will never see it.
Yeah. Well, also, just considering that the universe is still expanding, I have to believe there's something beyond the observable universe sort of paving the way.
And then there's the other problem where Stephen Hawking had a whole special on TV. I forget what it was. But
he's had too many.
Yeah, probably has. But there's a... where can you have... what would happen before the Big Bang? Like, what existed? And his whole argument was nothing. Because the way with E equals MC squared and things like that, and the theory of relativity, time is relative to your speed. So, and they've done experiments with this, where you send a rocket going extremely fast, like up into space and back down, and have another clock on Earth just sitting there, calibrated to the exact same time, the exact same frequency, and when this one from space comes back down, it'll be like, the one on Earth would have ticked by like 2 minutes faster.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because your speed slows time.
Yeah.
So from a particle of light's perspective, time's basically frozen. So because they're linked together, you can't have space without time and time without space. It's the space-time continuum. Before the Big Bang, time ceased to exist. So it doesn't make sense to have a time before the Big Bang. Which goes against all logic, but I guess makes sense.
Yeah, because at the same time, like, okay, there'd be no time for us in our universe, but if you believe in, like, a multiverse perspective, mm-hmm. there'd still be time in possibly another universe that predated ours.
Yeah, the thing is with this theory is that, or not his theory, but whoever posited it, I think it might have been Einstein, because it's relativity, but it might have been based off that, whatever. Time and space is a closed system. Like, we think of time as having no beginning or end, but it does have a beginning and end, and if you go by the Big Crunch theorem, time's a circle.
Yeah.
And we'll be doing this again billions of years from now, feeling just as much shame as before.
Unless there's slight differences, maybe we'll be slightly less shameful?
Hopefully.
I don't know. But
I don't know. But the amount I probably got wrong today, I got probably more shame than usual on this episode.
Well, considering this is all based on theory, you could still be right.
Yeah, but I'm trying to recapitulate things that are already theories. Unless if I make up something now, I'm claiming it now as the Contrapance theorem, and I really hope that's one day put into textbooks.
My God, yes. If there ever is a Contrapance theorem, I will have it bejeweled and embedded on that wall in front of us.
It would be on everything. I think I'd have t-shirts of it made.
I would wear that t-shirt proudly and shamefully. And then scientists will go back and study our podcast.
You know what's going to be funny? Have you ever seen... yeah. You know Conway's Game of Life that he hates?
Uh-huh.
The whole thing with group theory? He and a friend, over time, while going to lunch, just kind of played around with it as like a fun little game on a cafe napkin.
Yeah.
And it became what he's known for. Just a stupid thing he did, not any of his actual group theory work.
Yeah.
So he hates it, and is named after him. And I know something stupid I say will be the Contrapance theorem, and that's something I actually want to achieve in life.
Good.
It'll be a thing that automatically beeps the audio when you fuck up with saying something you shouldn't, identity-wise.
Yeah, when you give away the secret identity. So basically every superhero will be equipped with the Contrapance meter, basically, or the Contrapance device that prevents them from giving away their own identity.
Yeah. I really hope Audacity just has a beep function and not... I want to delete it. I need to put a beep over it. It's more fun that way.
I have a feeling there's not going to be a beep and you're going to try and find some other ridiculous sound effects.
Oh, I'll make like a cow mooing or something like that.
Okay. No, just find the loudest fart sound you could possibly get. Make everyone think we just shit ourselves violently while recording a podcast. But what about... the Big Freeze theory.
What's that one?
Okay, basically it's simply...
Oh, with equilibrium?
What?
Is that the equilibrium one?
Well, the way it was explained to me is, okay, the universe is constantly expanding farther and farther apart. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, since in theory the universe is infinite, the galaxies are going to keep going farther and farther apart until, like, there's going to be some point where there's basically no stars in our sky, mm-hmm. and it's going to keep going farther and farther apart until one day the universe is just, everything's so far apart that there's no light or heat in the universe, mm-hmm. and everything's just this frozen, dead, timeless mess.
Well, there's another, I guess, more accepted theory that counters that, mm-hmm. because as... According to thermodynamics, there's entropy, mm-hmm. that's the one, like, energy, I'm afraid to call it, that's always increasing. Like, whenever you have some sort of system, that, like, say you have a PlayStation. You turn it on, you have energy coming in through electricity, and you have energy going back out as electricity to your TV, heat, sound, vibration... There's always one more, entropy, which is measured chaos.
Okay.
Which sounds way cooler than it actually is, because it's really freaking boring. But basically, every system has some sort of chaos it puts out into the world. Mm-hmm. And that's never reaped in any way. And eventually, it adds up to being to the point where the entire... universe is nothing but entropy and heat, and everything dies and recollapses and everything. They call that one the heat death of the universe.
Hmm.
And that was a big... That mostly came up because there was Y2K,
yeah.
for Windows-based systems. Linux had one. They used a 32-bit counter that started January 1st, 1970. Mm-hmm. And if you had a 32-bit computer... The Linux Y2K was going to happen in 2038.
Okay.
Which would have been a much bigger deal since it is the backbone of the internet. Unix, I should say, not Linux. But once they created 64-bit systems, and you update to using a 64-bit clock instead of 32, it should tick past the heat death in the universe.
Okay.
Meaning that this will never be an issue... Everyone is guaranteed to be dead before we get there. No matter how advanced or immortal we become, everything will be gone by then.
Hmm. It's somewhat reassuring and somewhat depressing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, supposedly that's a theory that causes a lot of, like, existential crisis, but... That's so far into the future, I don't think that really should do that.
Well, we'll be dead by then anyway, pretty mm-hmm. much. Because one of the things I would love to live through, and I know I won't for a variety of reasons, is at some point when the Milky Way collides with the Andromeda Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
And fuses. Because supposedly the night sky would be awesome. But at that point, if not only would I just be like, well, first I should have just died of natural causes a couple million years before that happens. Mm-hmm. And even if that doesn't, then there's going to be all sorts of shifts in plate tectonics and gravity and all that. And mm-hmm. that'll probably also really mess up civilization good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there might be some sort of, like, primitive-based life, or maybe some sort of really, really super advanced human life, because who knows what evolution will do over the course of those millions of years.
Well, by then, but, I feel like humanity would have already moved past this solar system.
We would have either moved past the solar system or be dead. One of those two.
Because I know, like, right now there's commercial... businesses trying to go to Mars.
Yeah.
If you look at deep space probes and things like that, there's the idea of, like, exoplanets where they're not part of a solar system, they're just kind of floating around everywhere. There's a whole thought of, well, if one ever comes nearby, we can harvest from it, that kind of thing, or
yeah,
hitch a ride to the next solar system, and a lot of unrealistic stuff with that, but more unrealistic for what we have now. But there's other ones where they found a planet basically made of diamond.
Yeah.
An entire planet. And granted, this won't be in, you know, our eighth generation from now's lifetime, but if we ever find the ability to go there and harvest diamonds and bring them back, business will always push technology when it comes to that. And by then, maybe we'll start going over to that solar system, if for nothing else other than to mine for this one.
But then again,
then you get a lot of problems of increasing the planet mass and stuff like that by bringing stuff back and forth. And yeah, you have that problem that comes up in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where you got to get a receipt every time you go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, if you basically just go into the Russian palace and release all their diamond reserves, there'll be so many diamonds on the market that they'll be worth, like, I think it was like 25 cents a diamond.
Mm-hmm. And De Beers, too. Or yeah. Is that there?
It might be De Beers, too. I'm not sure. But yeah, basically, if you release all the diamond reserves in the world, they'll be so devalued that anyone could have a diamond, and frankly, I think the world would be better off.
Never mind. I just realized De Beers, I think, is Germany. Antwerp.
Mm.
I think. If Snatch taught me anything.
If.
Okay. But I didn't know about diamonds. Did they come from Antwerp?
Although, I wonder how much the diamond planet would fetch on the open market.
I think people would actually live on the moon before we get to Mars, though. Since people already claim land on it.
Yeah, I wonder if that's going to be valid at all. Because I can claim a whole bunch of crazy shit.
It's been a long time since Manifest Destiny mattered.
Yeah. Because if so, like, I just want to say dibs on Europa. I own Europa now.
Someone already did that.
Yeah, too late. I own it now.
No, like, he claimed every moon in the solar system.
Yeah.
And then tried to sell land from it. One guy did sell deeds to the moon. But supposedly a bunch of the cast of Star Trek owns a lot of it.
Okay. The moon?
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad that, in theory, George Takei owns the moon. Or at least a section of the moon. But somehow I don't think those deeds are going to be enforceable. Or
yeah. Like, on Earth, in a country, you have law enforcement to enforce that. On the moon, you kind of got to enforce it yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you pretty much don't get to be a country here if you don't have a militia to defend your borders or have an alliance to defend it. Someone will just take you.
Yeah.
The moon will be way worse. I wish I wrote down what we talked about. I gotta think of a description for this one.
Yeah, now you're gonna have to listen to it, you asshole.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah, that'll be your punishment, listening to the podcast.
Oh, man. Every time I listen to it, I feel like... I feel deep shame hearing my voice on my radio.
Good. Well, I guess it'd be a good place to end part one of our 137-part series, Contrapans Talks About Space.
Well, it might be more parts in the future. We're not sure yet. The universe is ever expanding.
We'll start for the original 137.
Yeah.
And move on from there.
In our educational, shameful podcast.
I'm ashamed of my ignorance, which you have...
I'm ashamed of everything I got wrong.
What if you were flawless? What if you're like a shining star of science today?
In that case, I'm ashamed I'm such a fucking nerd.
In that case, you are helpless.
I'm okay with that. All right, I guess if you want to contact us, tell me how much I fucked up, or tell Uranium Bacon, how does he not know that already?
Oh, there'll be a lot more of those.
I doubt it.
How do you not know string theory, huh?
I think all the self-diagnosed Asperger syndrome people will be emailing us more. you can contact us at show@imashamedofthis.com, or I'm on Twitter as @Contrapants.
I'm on Twitter as @UranianBacon, because Contrapants is a jerk.
Listen to last week's episode if you'd like to know more about that.
Or second episode. Well, you're still a jerk, you jerk.
And while you're there, you might as well go back to episode one, although that one was probably the most shameful of all, in all seriousness. So,
no, I think episode two was a rock bottom so far.
Huh. I don't even remember what that one was about.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wait, right. That was things we don't understand, because we made that up as we started recording.
Tell us why we're horrible at show@imashamedofthis.com.
Otherwise, we will hope you download next time. I don't, because it's not watches next time. I really don't know how to sign off yet.
See you later, folks.
All right, bye-bye.